Sheikh Ayub Rashid, my dearest elders, brothers, and sisters in Iman, Assalamu alaikum, Jamiyan wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Surah Fatiha is requested for all marhumin listed on the screen, as well as all other marhumin. Surah Al-Mubarak al-Fatiha. The Wash of Armies is requested for all those who are in need here and elsewhere, as well as those listed on the screen. Let us recite together. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amman yujibul mustarra iza da'ahu wa yakshifu su' Amman yujibul mustarra iza da'ahu wa yakshifu su' أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُصْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَخْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُصْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَخْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُصْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَخْشِفُ السُّوءَ يَا اللَّهُ. The HIC youth would like to invite all members of the community to a program entitled Creating Social Campaigns for Change Within the Shia Community with guest speaker Zain Haider Awan, who is the UK consultant to Zahra Trust. The program will inshallah take place tonight after the main program and will be held in the main hall. There will be a program tomorrow night entitled Real Estate and Estate Planning by real estate lawyer Nishad Khan, which will inshallah start at 10:15. On Saturday morning, Who is Hussein has organized an emergency food distribution that will take place in Orlando. Again, that will start at 10 a.m. And finally, ladies and gents of all ages are invited to witness a reenactment of Haditha Kisa on Saturday, June 20th, after the regular HIC program. As always, please refer to HIC's Ramadan program circular for more information on all these programs. At this time, let us invite Sheikh Ayub to please come forward and recite tonight's majlis. By Muhammad wa Muhammad Salawat.
سورة المباركة الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Respected scholars, elders, brothers, and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mubarak to you all, brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, for the occasion of the holy month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us in the list of those who are known as sa'imin, those who are fasting properly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us opportunity to recite the Holy Quran and to know the meanings of the Holy Book Quran and to apply the meaning, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us be among those people who pray Salatul Layl, insha'Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as and a'mal and forgive all our marhumin bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin bi haqqi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, in tonight's lecture, I would like to talk about an evil person who has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. So today we will start with one or the couple, and then inshallah we'll continue looking at those evil people who have been mentioned in the Holy Quran in order for us to be away, to keep ourselves away from them and from their traits and from their morality, which is a bad one, in order for us to be aware of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran. We want to connect the subject with the Holy Quran because this is the month of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. شهر رمضان, the holy month of Quran, the holy month of Ramadan, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, in it the holy Quran was revealed. So we want to read the holy Quran because why? There is hidayah in the holy Quran. There is guidance in the Holy Quran. But as normally we say, the hidayah of the Holy Quran will not benefit us if we don't know the language of that hidayah. Hidayah is guidance. Guidance will guide you and me if we know the meanings. Like the way we say normally, you have your sat navigator, you want to go to different town and city, and you follow it, and it speaks in a foreign language. You will get lost. You will not be able to reach where you're going. So we need to understand that language. The month of the Holy Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to go back again to the principle of guidance, to the Holy Quran, in order for us to say, okay, every year I read the Holy Quran, but I don't understand each and everything. Let me try at least few verses of the Holy Quran. Let me know the meaning in order for me to get the guidance. However, the Holy Quran, it's not like sat-nav. No, sat-nav was made by a human being. Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hidayah, the guidance of the Holy Quran will guide us even if we don't know the meaning of the book 100%. Because what Allah will look at us is our iman, our sincerity, the purity of the heart, our intentions. That is what Allah will look at. Sometimes I may have intention of wanting to know the meaning of the Holy Quran, but I don't have chance, I don't have time. Through my intention, Allah will reward me. The way the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi wa ala niyatikum turzakun. It is through your intentions that Allah will give you a rizq. If you want to know the Holy Quran sincerely and you don't get the opportunity to sit and learn, through your intention Allah will reward you. So inshallah, in this series, we want to discuss about the evil people who have been mentioned in the Holy Quran. And today we want to talk about someone. His name is very famous. It seems as if there is that kind of relationship between us and him. But the relationship is not good because this guy, his name is Abu Lahab. And Abu Lahab, the name is very famous. Why famous? Because there is surah in the Holy Quran, which is known as Surah Lahab. And Abu Lahab, we read this surah since when we were children, and we know the surah, alhamdulillah, each and every one of us has memorized the surah. Surah number 111 in the Holy Quran, 111. This surah was revealed in Makkah. It has 5 verses. With Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tabba. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tabba. Tabbat yada. Yada in Arabic, these are 2 hands. We call them yadani. I need to go a little bit in terms of Arabic grammar here. Yadani means two hands. Or yadaini, two hands. But when you have a possessive case in Arabic, what they call it, mudaf and mudaf ilayhi, when you have the word as yadani, as mudaf, as a possessive case, and you attach it to a noun after it, you will have to omit the noon. So you can't say yadani abi talib or yadani abi lahab. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says tabbat yada abi lahab. He didn't say tabbat yadani abi lahab. Why? Because of mudaf and mudaf ilayhi, possessive case. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, he says tabbat. The word tabbat is a negative word. It is like you do dua for someone for him to be perished, for him to be destroyed. Tabbat yada, both hands, Abi Lahab, of Abu Lahab, tabbat, meaning what? They are perished, they are destroyed. When you say someone's hands have been destroyed, it means that he will not be able to function properly, because we need our hands to grasp, to take, to give, to do many functions. So Allah, when he uses tabbat yada, it means there is a lesson for us to learn there. He didn't say tabba ra'asu abi talib, tabba rijla abi lahab. He says tabbat yada abi lahab. He uses hands in order for us to understand that these are very important tools in our lives. When Allah destroys them, we will not be able to function. But is this the only message we are getting here, that the both hands of Abu Lahab are perished? No, Abu Lahab lived in this world. Until he died, he has his both hands. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tabbat yada Abi Lahab, both hands of Abu Lahab were destroyed, he had his hands until when he went to his grave. So what was destroyed there? So here we need inner meaning of tafsir of the Holy Quran. And this is what our Imam Al-Athar alayhi wasalam are telling us, that for every apparent side of the Holy Quran, there is inner meaning of the Holy Quran. So tabbat yada Abi Lahab, both hands of Abu Lahab are perished, wa tabba, and he himself also has been perished or will perish. Now when we talk about the eloquence of the Holy Quran, we find that is very strong here. Not only that Allah uses both hands of Abu Lahab, but he says also him, he is perished. So the lesson is that there will be no any barakah from someone like Abu Lahab. No barakah from his hands, no barakah from himself, no any barakah from anything which is connected with Abu Lahab. And that's why Imamuna As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, when you recite Surah Tabbat Yada or Surah Abi Lahab, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you away from him. But we are not with him, ya Imam. He says it's because sometimes shaitan may causes that waswas in our hearts, that we may do some actions which are like the actions of Abu Lahab. So when you recite Surah Lahab, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep yourself away. And there's another hadith which, according to Tafsir al-Amthal, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi says, whoever recites Surah Al-Lahab will be away from Abu Lahab. Sallallahu Muhammad wa Muhammad. Allahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone who recites Surah Al-Lahab will be kept away from Abu Lahab. This is the miracle of the Holy Quran. Even though the whole surah, if we can, in our understanding, we say it's a full of negative, but when we read that surah, we get the positive of the surah. And that is why we will be kept away from Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab was known as Abdul Izzah. He was born as Abdul Izzah. Abdu Al-Izza. Abdul Izza, his face, his cheeks were reddish. And they were giving some sort of flame. And according to those who saw him when he was a baby, they say he was so handsome. So that's why he was known as Abu Lahab. This is not the Holy Quran which gave him the name. He was nicknamed as Abu Lahab because of that reddish on the cheeks. So the cheeks were giving that flame, and he was known as Abu Lahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses his name to reveal the surah that tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. That Abu Lahab, the one who has reddish cheeks and they flame, he will enter into hellfire, which is a burning fire with blazing fire. The fire also has lahab. That is the mu'jiza of the Holy Quran. That this Abu Lahab, who has got the cheeks, which the reddish cheeks, he will enter the fire which gives flame. So the both word lahab have been used for two different meanings here in just one ayah, and that is the mu'jiza of the Holy Quran. Abu Lahab was the paternal uncle of Rasulullah. The father of our Rasul is Abdullah. Abdullah is the son of Abdul Muttalib. So Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib. Abu Lahab, Abdul Izza, is also Ibn Abdul Muttalib. So Abdullah and Abu Lahab were brothers. Rasulullah, for him to have an uncle after the death of Rasul, the father, it was a blessing. My father dies, I know there is a brother of my father, I'll be happy to be closer to him. I lost my father, but I have my uncle. But the relationship between Abu Lahab and Rasulullah was never good at all. I don't know why. He was the real uncle of Rasulullah. According to some Mufassirin, they say no, he was a half-brother of Abdullah. Because the mother of Abdullah was Fatima, while the mother of Abu Lahab was another lady. Now, Binti Hajar, the way they used to call her, I don't know whether it was the upbringing from the mother's side which caused the hatred from Abu Lahab, and he hated Rasulullah from childhood. So when Rasulullah grew up and he started preaching Islam after the revelation came, the Holy Prophet divided his mission into two major parts. One was tabligh, which he did it for 3 years in secrecy. He used to approach different people, talk to them about Islam, welcome them to the deen, talk to them in groups, in few numbers, until when the surah or the ayah was revealed, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Now call and warn your close relatives. This ayah, when it was revealed, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, decided to go to the top of Mount Safa. Mount Safa, as we know, Safa and Marwa. When you go to Hajj, you go between Safa and Marwa, which are two signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah. They are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to honor them. So the Holy Prophet went and climbed on Mount Safa. And he used a call which Arabs used to use whenever there was a danger. And he said, Ya Sabaha, Ya Sabaha. Meaning what? Oh, calamity of the morning. Oh, calamity of the morning means there's a danger here. When people heard this, they gathered and they were asking, who is the caller? Who is this one who is calling us that there's a danger? People said, it is Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma sallam. So they decided to come. They were listening to him. The Holy Prophet said, what if I'm going to say to you that there is an enemy behind this mountain ready to attack you? Will you listen to me? They said, yes, According to one narration, the Holy Prophet asked them, why? They said, because you are As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. You are Sadiq, you are a truthful one. You are Al-Amin, you are a trusted one. So whatever you say, we will listen to you. He said, I give you warning that a big torment is coming upon you. When he said this, some people were listening. But others like Abu Lahab, immediately he said, Tabban lak, Tabban lak, may you perish. Alihada jama'atana, just for this you have gathered here to tell us, O alihada da'autana jami'an, have you called all of us just to tell us that there is a torment which is coming towards us? Tabban laka. So who began the tabba? It was Abu Lahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately revealed the surah, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tabba. No, you are saying tabban to Rasulullah, tabban to you, you will perish because Rasulullah, didn't you hear that people said, Anta ya Rasulullah, Sadiq Amin. You are Sadiq and Amin. So Abu Lahab went home and he started organizing his plans in order for him to attack our Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, he wasn't alone. Abu Lahab with his wife, Imra'atuhu, according to the Holy Quran. Imra'atuhu, his wife. His wife was known as Ummu Jamil. Ummu Jamil, the mother of beauty. Mother of beauty. Why this mother of beauty? Whenever we read the Holy Quran, we find negatives with her. Because of what the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The Holy Prophet says when you marry a woman, there will be reasons there. Reason number one, because of her beauty. Reason number two, because of family. Reason number three, because of wealth. Reason number four, because of faith. And the Holy Prophet says, go for faith. Don't just go for beauty. Why? We have example, Ummu Jamil. Ummu Jamil, she was so beautiful. But that beauty is just the outer appearance of that lady. In her inner sense was only negative. Only ugliness was inside this woman. And she teamed up with the husband, Abu Lahab, to cause trouble to Rasulullah. And the Holy Quran, when it was revealed, after this event of Safa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu. His wealth. Wa ma kasab. And what he earned. Ma aghna anhu. Will not avail him. Not his wealth, not whatever he earned will avail him. Sayasla naran. He will enter a fire, that a lahab, which is full of flames. Wamra'atuhu, and his wife, that wamra'atuhu hammalat al hatab, the carrier of the wood fire. Fi jidiha, on her neck or around her neck, hablun, there is a rope, min masad, which is twisted from a fiber palm tree. This woman and the husband will enter hellfire. As we understand, we ask the question, Ya Allah, why do you mention Abu Lahab with his name? No any part of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used someone's name clearly, like in this surah, Abi Lahab. We ask the question, is this because Abu Lahab called Rasulullah Tabban on that particular morning? No, our ulama, Tafsir al-Amthal, Tafsir Majma' al-Bayani, Allama Tabarsi, and other scholars are saying, no, there are many reasons you need to understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this evil person by his name. Number one, Abu Lahab has had that hatred against Rasulullah. And if you look at the enemies of Rasulullah, those who died as enemies, If you look at them, you will find that there is something wrong with their lives. And Abu Lahab was one of them. So that hatred was not just a normal hatred. You have Asu ibn Wa'il. In one time, they teamed with Abu Lahab. Asu ibn Wa'il was that guy who used to call Rasulullah Abtar, the one who is without posterity. Abu Lahab, when he heard the death of Abdullah, the son of Rasulullah, he teamed up with Asu ibn Wa'il and they called Rasulullah Abtar. You can be called Abtar by anyone, there's no any problem, but not with your uncle. Your uncle, the brother of your father, to call you Abtar, that it's a serious offense. So because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to expose Abu Lahab. Number two, whenever Rasulullah used to visit people who used to come to Makkah, as you know, people used to come to Makkah to perform whatever kind of pilgrimage they used to call it, before Rasulullah introduced Manasik al-Hajj, the way we know the Ibadah of Hajj, the worship or acts of worship of Hajj, people used to come to Makkah. So whenever they came, Rasulullah would go to that delegation to talk to them, to invite them into Islam. Abu Lahab used to follow Rasulullah. If Rasulullah is talking to this particular group of people, he leaves, Abu Lahab will go. Talk to them. Ask them not to listen to Rasulullah. If another delegation, number three, would come to visit Rasulullah, because they heard in Makkah there's a young man who preaches Islam, Abu Lahab would go after them. He says, have you come from Muhammad? What did he tell you? He told us about Allah is one, that we need to be good people. Abu Lahab, he would say, don't listen to him. He's a liar. He's kadhab. And that's why the sixth imam says, when you read Surah Lahab, you need to pray against Abu Lahab, because he used to call Rasulullah as kadhab, and he used to belie the religion of Allah and Allah himself. So because of this reason, Rasulullah used to find it difficult. I build and he comes to destroy. I try to talk to people for them to become Muslims. Abu Lahab would come and take them away from Islam. Number four, whenever Rasulullah would invite people, Abu Lahab would go and stop them from becoming Muslims, until one day a delegation came to Makkah. They insisted, we want to see Rasulullah. They went to see Rasulullah. When they finished, Abu Lahab said, whatever he told you, don't take him serious, because he is our child and we are still taking care of his medication. He has been possessed by a jinn. So whatever he said, don't take him seriously. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So these were the activities of Abu Lahab. Not only that, according to the Holy Quran, he says, ma aghna anhu maluhu. His wealth will not help him, will not avail him. As per this ayah, mu'jiz of the Holy Quran, Abu Lahab had mal. Ma aghna anhu maluhu. He was a rich person in Makkah, but he uses his richness to destroy Islam. He uses his richness to go against Rasulullah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. But when we read this as Muslims, we need to connect the ayah with what Allah says in Surah Shu'ara, ayah 77 to 78. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yawma la yanfa'u malun wala banun illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Yawma la yanfa'u malun. A day of judgment, or the day of judgment, is the day when our wealth will not give us manfa'a, will not help us. Wala banun, wala, even children will not help us. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Except the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that qalb salim. Salim, there's no any problem in that qalb. The qalb which is complete and in one good shape and form, that one will be helped with whatever he did here. So Abu Lahab was thinking, because I have wealth, I can destroy Islam. And sometimes I'm sure you have heard some people who are wealthy people, they may say, I will use whatever amount of money for me to destroy him. These are the traits of Abu Lahab. These are the traits of Shaytan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he says in the Holy Quran that Allah has khazainu samawati wal ard, khazain, treasures of this world, as well as the heavens, are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Abu Lahab and his wife, the wife now teamed with the husband, she decided, I will bring some tricks in order for me now to torment Rasulullah. Putting all the thorns and the rubbish on the way of Rasulullah, using foul language day in, day out, a woman would go after Rasulullah. There was a time Rasulullah used to live near them as a neighbor, and they used to target Rasulullah each morning and each evening, not only with words, with rubbish and all the troubles, but Rasulullah would use the word sabr for him to persevere whatever was happening there. Yes, a woman sometimes needs to use that intellect to say, even if my husband does this, I'm not going to support. Why? Because this is against the principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that wasn't the case with Abu Lahab. As we understand, Abu Lahab and the team of mushrikeen used to target Rasulullah until the Battle of Badr came. The Battle of Badr happened in the second year after Hijrah. And it was in the month of Ramadan, 17th day of the month of Ramadan. The Battle of Badr happened. Abu Lahab was thinking, can I go to the battle or not? He did his Qur'ah. He did his calculations. And he said, no, I'm not going to participate in the Battle of Badr. In those days, if you don't go to the Battle of Badr or to the battle, whichever battle, you have to send someone to represent you. So he took someone to represent him. When Mushrikun came back to Makkah, he met with Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan was the leader of Quraysh. And he said, Abu Sufyan, give me the news. What happened in Badr? Abu Sufyan said, we lost the battle. Abu Lahab was so furious because he wanted to finish Rasulullah. Now, someone was sitting near them, listening to the story. And he said, Abu Sufyan was giving the story that we saw individuals who are not like normal human beings riding horses in the Battle of Badr. And they were fighting in a way which is a different way. We are not used to see that way. So this guy said, those are angels. Abu Lahab slapped him properly. And then he took him, he raised him high, he put him on the ground, and he started beating him up. A lady by the name Lubaba, or Ummu Fadl, the wife of Al-Abbas, uncle of Rasulullah, took a big stick, and he hit Abu Lahab on the head. Abu Lahab was injured, and he decided to go home. For 7 days, he couldn't come out because of the strike of that lady. And the 7th day after the Battle of Badr, he died in his house. Was killed by a woman, if we can say. Not in a battle. For Arabs, that was a big shame. Some people say he had infection. Others, they say, Mufassirun, they say that he got this disease which wasn't common, and he wasn't cured. So he died in his house after 7 days after the Battle of Badr. Now, Abu Lahab had two sons. The two sons, when they came to see the condition of the father, now he passed away. They said, we can't do anything with the body of someone like Abu Lahab. What happened? The body was smelling so bad. So bad, so that they decided, we are not going to stay in the house. They decided to go outside. They left the body for 3 days in the house. until the neighbors started complaining, why you sons Utba and Utaiba, you leave your dad to decompose, his body to be decomposed in his house? They said, okay, we'll come. Bring some servants. They came. They say, okay, take the body, wash it the way we wash the body, we know. But they took water and they started pouring on the body because they couldn't touch it. And then they decided, okay, take the body with sticks. They were moving the body. They took the body. They went outside the city and they buried in a grave. Not the dug grave, the one which is dug properly. But they decided to throw stones on the body of Abu Lahab. This is the end of an evil man. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tabba, there is a lesson for us to think. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a very strong language to explain about what happened to Abu Lahab? Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Whatever his wealth he had and whatever he earned would not help him, not only in this world as well as in the hell, in the hereafter. Sayasla naran dhata lahab. He will enter the hellfire, not only in akhirah, but the hellfire, he saw it here in this world. In akhirah, there will be other punishments, him and his wife also. Now, according to our mufassirin, they are telling us the following. Number one, in Islam, in order for you to get that izzah and honor, don't rely on the family ties only. Family ties will not help us. Never ever say, because I am belong to this family and this clan and this nation and this community, I'll be a good person like the other or the rest of the community. If the family tie would help anyone, then the family tie would help Abu Lahab because he was the uncle of Rasulullah. But in Islam, it is not the family tie. It is your actions and your a'mal. And in Islam, if your a'mal and your actions and your sincerity are so good, you can be closer to Rasulullah the way Salman al-Farisi was closer to Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And how beautiful we learn from the Hadith al-Qudsi. Al-jannatu haqqun liman ata'ani walau kana abdan habashiyya. The paradise is right for anyone who worships me properly, even though he may be a servant of Habashi from Ethiopia. Wan naru haqqun liman asani walau kana sayyidan qarashiyya. And hell is right. Anyone who goes against Allah's commands will enter hell, even if he's a Sayyid from Quraysh. This is Islam. Islam which benefits Salman al-Farisi, and Islam which will destroy someone like Abu Lahab because of his sincerity was not there for Islam. Another lesson which we are learning from this surah: Quran is full of miracles. Not only one miracle. Quran is full of many miracles. Miracles in number. Whatever number is being mentioned in the Holy Quran, there is a miracle there. Whatever pairs have been mentioned in the Holy Quran, there is a lesson to be learned there. Whatever name has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, there is a miracle there. Whichever fruit has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, there is mu'jiza, there is benefit with that fruit. Whichever food has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, there is a benefit with that food. Whatever mountain has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, there is a secret there. And whatever information has been given by the Holy Quran, it's a mu'jiza. Allah says, tabbat yada Abi Lahab. What abba? Abu Lahab, his hands perish. And he will perish. This happened in Makkah. In Makkah, in the beginning of Islam, Rasulullah is preaching Islam before Hijrah of Medina. But then Abu Lahab wouldn't challenge the Holy Quran for him to say, I will become a Muslim. Let me see. I want to destroy Islam. I will become Muslim. This tabbat yada Abi Lahab will not be there. But never he died as the prediction of the Holy Quran. Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin watabba, until the end. He died as a kafir. This is a mu'jiza of the Holy Quran for you and me. When we recite the surah, the way our imma alayhi salam say, we need to pray to Allah to ask him to keep us away from Abu Lahab. Not to use our wealth in order for us to destroy Islam. Not to use our children to stop the message of Islam. Not to go after righteous people when they do da'wah and tabligh, we stop. Not to follow the righteous people when they do good things, we go and say, don't listen to them. We should do opposite of whatever Abu Lahab did in order for us to raise the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Aliyun Waliyullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us be able to recite the Holy Quran in this month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us opportunity to do tadabbur of the Holy Quran and to understand the meanings of the Holy Quran. Ya Allah, we ask you to bless us all and bless our marhumin. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa rahimallah. Man qara al-fatiha qablaha as-salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Bismillah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma kulli waliyaka Hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abahi fi hadhihi as-saati wa fi kulli sa'ah waliyan wa hafizan wa qaidan wa nasiran wa dalilan wa aynan حتى تسكنه أرزك توعا وتمتيه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليك يا رسول الله. السلام عليك يا عمير المؤمنين. السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء سيدتي نساء العالمين. السلام عليك يا أبا محمد الحسن المجتبى. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله. السلام عليك يا وارث آدم صفة الله. السلام عليك يا وارث نوح النبي الله. السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله. السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله. السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله. السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله. السلام عليك يا وارث علي أمير المؤمنين ولي الله. السلام عليك يا ابن محمد المصطفى. السلام عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى. السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء. السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى. السلام عليك يا سار الله وابن ساري والوتر الموتور. أشهد أنك قد قمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونحيت للمنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين. فلعن الله أمة قتلتك ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك ولعن الله أمة سميت بذلك فرزيت به يا مولاي يا عبا عبد الله أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأسلاب الشامقة والأرحام المطهرة لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من مدلهمات ثيابها وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين وأشهد أنك الإمام البر التقي الرزي الزكي الحادي المهدي وأشهد أن الأئمة من ولدك كلمة التقوى وعلام الحدى والعروة الوثقى والحجة على أهل الدنيا وأشهد الله ملائكته وأنبياءه ورسله أني بكم مؤمن وبيا بكم موقن بشرائع ديني وخواتيم عملي وقلبي لقلبكم سلم وعمري لأمركم متبع صلوات الله عليكم وعلى أرواحكم ولا أجسادكم ولا أجسامكم ولا شاهدكم ولا غائبكم ولا ظاهركم ولا باطنكم بأبي أنت وأمي يا ابن رسول الله بأبي أنت وأمي يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن نبي الله السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا ابن الحسين الشهيد السلام عليك أيها الشهيد السلام عليك أيها المظلوم وابن المظلوم لعن الله أمة قتلتك ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك ولعن الله أمة سميت بذلك فرضيت به السلام عليكم يا أولياء الله وأحباه السلام عليكم يا أصفياء الله وأبداع السلام عليكم يا أنصار دين الله السلام عليكم يا أنصار رسول الله السلام عليكم يا أنصار أمير المؤمنين السلام عليكم يا أنصار فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليكم يا أنصار أبي محمد الحسن بن علي الولي الزكي الناصح السلام عليكم يا أنصار أبي عبد الله بأبي أنتم أمي تبتم وتابت العز التي فيها دفنتم وفوز فوزا عظيما فيا ليتني كنت معكم فأفوز معكم السلام عليك يا أبا الفضل العباس بن أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا ابن السيد الوسيين السلام عليك يا ابن أول القوم إسلاما وأقدمهم إيمانا وأقومهم بدين الله وأحوتهم على الإسلام أشهد لقد نصحت لله ولرسوله ولأخيك فنعم الأخ المواسي فلعن الله أمة قتلتك ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك ولعن الله أمة استحلت منك المحارم وانتهكت حرمة الإسلام فنعم الصابر المجاهد المحامي الناصر والأخ الدافع عن أخيه المجيب إلى طاعة ربه الراغب فيما زهد فيه غيره من الثواب الجزيل والثناء الجميل والحقك الله بدرجة آبائك في جنات النعيم اللهم إني تعرضت لزيادة أوليائك رغبة في ثوابك ورجعا لمغفرتك وجزيل إحسانك فاسألك أن تصلي على محمد وآله الطاهرين وأن تجعل رزق بهم دارا وعيش بهم قارا وزيارة بهم مقبولا وحياة بهم طيبة وأدرجني إدراج المكرمين واجعلني ممن ينقلب من زيارة مشاهد أحبائك مفلحا منجها قد استوجب غفران الذنوب وستر العيوب وكشف الكروب إنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. السلام عليك يا أختك زينب وبنتك سكينة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا غريب الغرباء، السلام عليك يا معين الضعفاء والفكراء، السلطان بالحسن علي بن موسى الرضا، كن شفيعنا وشفيع والدينا في يوم الجزاء ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا حجة الله يا ابن الحسن يا صاحب الزمان، السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن، السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن، السلام عليك يا كعبة الإيمان، السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان، عجل الله لك ما وعدك من الناس وزهور الأمر ورحمة الله وبركاته.